Now, I when I say this, I don't say this just as a prerequisite that I'm in this class. I have missed being in here. I really have. I've been in Grove 2 the past 2 weeks, but I can honestly say that I've truly, truly missed you guys and teaching here. I've absolutely loved it. I've learned a lot through the studying, and God showed me a lot. And I just want to thank y'all that have been faithful to. Oh, hey, yeah, that's a little much. I want to thank y'all for the being so faithful to come. I mean, it's the last 12 weeks, but man, it's worth it in the end. I want to commend you for sticking it out. It's week 9. We got 4 more weeks left, and so I'm excited. I've talked to Pastor Todd and them a bunch, and I've told him. I said this group in Grove 2, there's something very special about this group. I truly believe this is a room full of leaders, and that's something we're going to talk about tonight. But before we get started, I've had a couple of questions come my way about last week's teaching, and there's two things that I want to say to maybe bring a little clarity and maybe, I don't want to say soften the blow, but bring a little clarity and maybe makes a little more sense on the Holy Spirit, primarily the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the two things I want to talk about it is the first one is if anybody in here that has sought this out and haven't received baptism of the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues, hey, it doesn't change who you are in Christ. It doesn't affect your. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It's not. I know everything God does. There's a timing to everything. Is it a gift that's everybody? It's available to everybody. Sure, God's not going to hold back great gifts for us, but God's also not going to give us the keys to gifts that we're not ready for. And I want to make sure that we reiterate that, make sure that said that if it may be a condition of heart, it may be spacing in our life, it may be, I don't know what it is, those are things between you and Christ, because I know when I received it, it was at a time that I never expected it, but I 100% know why I received it when I received it, because I watched my daughter, who was very ill, heal in an instant. And God needed me to receive it when I received it, so I wouldn't think it was me. And I knew it was Him. And the second thing that I want to clear up about it is that I had a question asked, and I've had this question asked before, is that when this is going on, when you're speaking, do you understand what you're saying? Here's the thing, and this is going to make sense to everybody. Don't look at this as something that you're doing, because if it's something that you're doing, it's powerless. This is the Holy Spirit praying through you. This is the Holy Spirit praying at a level that's just between you and God. It's one of the most beautiful, powerful things you'll ever experience. One of the most intimate, one of the most, it's delicate, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is our counselor. He's not this big, scary dude. It's not fire breathing out of your mouth. It's not this big, boisterous thing where everybody's looking at you like you're crazy. Because if it is, it's wrong. Because God doesn't operate in any kind of confusion whatsoever. So if there's any confusion in it, it's not Christ. It's not the Holy Spirit. And so I just wanted to make sure that I touched on those two points. And just know that if you do have questions about this, now's not the time to ask them. But you can come up, I'll give you my number, you can call me, and we'll walk through any of this, because I don't ever, this church, the pastors, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, nobody, we don't want any confusion of this at all, because it is a beautiful thing, it is a powerful gift, and it is a gift from God. And so I just wanted to make sure that I touched on those two things, because that is something that has been brought to my attention this past week, okay? I want to move into this week's teaching. Tina, you just read something in Ephesians 2. I want you to read that again for me. Now, I'm fixing to show you the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you how God works. Before you read this, have me and you talked at all this week? Matter of fact, have we ever talked outside of church? Okay, so I'm going to show you the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to make sure they don't think this is some kind of conspiracy. Read that.
Right
there. We should walk in them. Listen, It says that we are created in Him. If we are created in Him, that means that we are to be an image of Him. Does everybody agree with that? Okay, we are an image of Him. Who has their Bible? Are you still, go to Ephesians 1. Are you reading out of, what version are you reading out of? Okay. Does somebody get a, does anybody have the NLT version in here? It's in my book, huh? Huh? I want the NLT because I want to show y'all something. Right here? Okay. Here, I'm going to use this right here. I'm fixing to show y'all something. So I started doing a commentary study on Ephesians, and I wasn't even nowhere near Ephesians. I was in the Old Testament, and God stopped me, and He said, go to Ephesians. I have to show you something. Okay, God. I know why now. Right, it's a twofold thing, but tonight there's a reason for it. I want y'all to hold on to what Tina just talked about. This is the very first the greeting from Paul. He said, this letter is from Paul. This is epistle. Paul's in prison, okay? That's what the epistles mean. All right, he's writing to the people of Ephesus. He says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. All apostle means is someone who spreads the word. He's a deliverer of good news. He says, I am writing to God's holy people who are faithful followers of Jesus. All right. I am writing, who is this? Michael. I am writing to God's holy people. I've read that probably 1,000 times in the Bible. Let me explain what that means. The word holy means to be set apart. Okay? It means sanctified. It means set apart. Well, set apart from what? We're set apart from the unholy. Holiness is not something that we obtain. Holiness is not something that by our own means that we're able to obtain. If it was, there would have been no use for the cross. Holiness is a product of being a saint. A saint is a Christian. A saint is one who has received salvation. That's what the saints are. We receive salvation through Christ because He chose us to be holy, to be set apart. That word set apart, that word holy, means to look different and be different. It just said that we were made in Christ Jesus. So that means we were created holy. That means that we are called to look and act and live like Jesus as His chosen people, as saints, as being set apart. Because if we don't, when the unholy look at our lives and see us living unholy, they're not seeing the reflection of the only one that can save them. Do y'all get that? So if unsaved people can't look at saved people and see Jesus Christ, we're now a stumbling block to the lost. We can't be that. Jesus set us apart for a reason. So that word set apart and holy expresses two things. It expresses responsibility. But look at this. It expresses privilege too. It expresses responsibility and it expresses privilege. Read that one more time. I'm going to show you how it does that. Right there. Created in Christ Jesus. That's a privilege. We are His workmanship. That's a responsibility. He worked us for a purpose. That's a responsibility. We are created in Him. That's a privilege because when we're in Christ, that means we have the authority of Christ. That means we have the peace of Christ, the power of Christ, the hope of Christ. Keep going, Tina. For good works, another responsibility. Well, read the rest of it.
Which God prepared beforehand.
Oh, He did what?
Prepared.
God, I know that if I prepare my kids dinner, that's a privilege for my children, right? It's not an obligation of mine. That's a privilege. So God prepared beforehand what? Oh, God prepared a way for us that we have a responsibility. Does everybody grasp what I just said? Because you're holy, you are set apart, you have a different level of expectation on your life, period. There's no gray area to it. There's a different expectation on your life because you are set apart, because you're holy. But that privilege, that responsibility, gives us the privilege of eternal life and of healing and of freedom and of peace and of power and of hope. See all the privileges we get when we hold to the one responsibility God called us to be, and that's to be set apart and be different? I want y'all to consider that as we talk about this tonight and say, well, this really doesn't apply to me in my life right now. Yes, it does. Serving applies to your life, where you're at right now, because if you're a believer, save people, serve people, period. I can show it to you all through the Word of God. Thank you, Tina. I'm just making sure we got some strong guys. There he is right there. He got me. I'm going to fall before this thing's over with. I know you got me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, of something God revealed to me. He showed Tina something in that. If that's not God speaking to you this class tonight, then I don't know what is. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That should excite you. And this teaching tonight should excite you, because it's about serving. Serving excites me. I love it. And the reason I love it is because it's tough at times. I serve in a lot of areas. I know a lot of you do. But when I get to serve, I get to be an extension of my Creator. There's nothing better than that. Let's get dug into this thing. I wasn't even going to share that. I'm already supposed to be done with the first part. I told y'all. We're just going to go with it. But since we got to touch on all of that, we're talking about the purposeful pursuit of our potential. When I was in high school, I know I'm debonair and streamlined now, but I was a chunky little dude in high school. I was. I've always been the little fat kid, and that's okay. But somewhere in there, I thought that I had a calling on my life to play tennis. I did. Yeah. You see where I'm going with this? I thought, I got this. So I went and got me a racket and some balls. I did. And I was like, I'm fixing to try out for this Alto tennis team. You laugh, but I did. I got this. We had a tennis team. All four of them. It would have been five, but I didn't have no potential for that certain skill. My ankles wouldn't hold up to it. All that darting and dashing, Chandler. No, even in doubles, I'd get top heavy. All off in the wrong lane. My partner just give it up. Needless to say, when I went to school, you weren't supposed to be able to ask someone not to do a sport. I got told how you can't be on this team. And for good reason. I was meant to lift weights, play football. That's all God designed me for in my high school area. Here's the problem. I wanted to operate outside of my ability. I wanted to operate outside of my potential. There was no potential in me to do nothing but hurt myself or somebody else in tennis. That's it. I found that out the hard way. I did. I fell over the net. I couldn't stop. That's too much. There's too much weight going. And I was kind of quick for a big boy, but you get all that momentum going and gravity and poor shoes because we didn't have no money. Chaos, son. It was chaos. I didn't understand my calling. My calling in life was to be a blocking dummy. That's what God intended me to be, and that's okay. So let's look at this right here. Understanding your call. Number one, everyone is equally called by God to do what he has created them to do. I told that story because of this first point. I was not created in any form or fashion to be an agile athlete. It's just not me. But I was part of a team, and we were really, really good at football. Really good. We didn't lose. I was part of a team that I had a certain calling and a certain position on that team and a certain responsibility. Was it the most glorious thing? No. Was I on the news all the time? Not for the right reasons. No, I wasn't. No. I drank up most of the water. You know, I was a tank. But I served a purpose on that team. And my purpose allowed other people to get more of a spotlight. But that purpose on that team, what it did was, of those 11 people on that field, I served a huge purpose in the overall team achieving its goal of victory. I had to know my lane. Well, that's what this is talking about. Everyone is equally called by God to do what he has created to do. I was equally called to be a defensive tackle. My calling wasn't less than the ones throwing the ball or catching the ball. It's just my position wasn't seen as much, but it was equally vital. Well, that's the way our church is. There's people behind the scene that do things that if I was behind the scene, you would know it. Because Chandler's drums, nothing would work. Pastor Cody would just walk off the stage. Jeremy would throw a dart up there at that audio video board because I have no calling to do that. I know my lane. But those guys that you don't see, their calling is not any less important than Pastor Jeremy's. Because it takes everybody to do this one thing that we're here to do, and it's to have victory in Christ over darkness. So it takes all kinds of kinds to make this thing operate. All kinds of kinds. Let's look at these next three. Everyone is equally responsible to respond to the call and fulfill it. Number three, it says the call of God is not optional for those who choose to follow him. We were created for this, guys. And then number four, it says the call of God is permanent and cannot be taken away. Look at this scripture. Romans 11:29. If you don't think God didn't call us to serve and didn't call us and didn't create each one of us to have certain gifts, it says, for God's gifts and his call. This is God's word, not mine. This is Romans 11:29. It says, are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. We all have a calling and giftings on our life. Can we recognize him 100% right now? No. Did I think 5 years ago that my calling was teaching? No, I did not. I truly didn't. As a matter of fact, I told my brother and my dad, I said, the last thing I'll ever do is preach the word because I've seen what it takes to do it. I told my dad because that's what my dad and brother done their whole life. And I told him, I'll do a lot. I said, but I'm not. And so when I started here, I started in youth. I was horrible at it because I don't understand them. how Pastor Cameron and them can be so patient with it. And, you know, I just like to line all and fight every one of them. I don't have the ability. The little kids and stuff, how they can deal with those little kids. I mean, just my house made me want to go play in traffic sometimes. It's not my calling, but there's people that can sit over there. Thank God they do. Thank God that we have people that can play the drums. But Chandler, could you play the drums when you were 5 years old like you can now? No. But it was something that God instilled in you when you were created. Michael, you deal with them yahoos all the time in youth. When you were young, did you think that you would be able, that was your calling? Okay. It was something that was instilled in you a long time ago. A long time ago. That's the great thing about everybody in here. Is it doesn't matter where you're at in your walk. God's instilled something in every one of y'all, and he wants to use it.
But he can't use it and give you the keys to that gift and that calling until you're ready. Because if he gives it to you at the wrong time, you'll hurt yourself and you can hurt others. The Holy Spirit's a gift. No, let me back up. Speaking in tongues is a gift. Okay? And it's for everybody. But he'll give it to you, not when you want it, but when you're ready for it. Because if I had everything I wanted when I wanted it, it would have destroyed my life. If God would have put the calling on my life and give me the microphone 7 years ago, it would have been a disaster. I would have not preached the word in its fullest. The word, the Bible says, preach the word to its fullest. I would have, because I didn't know it. I didn't know how to preach it to its fullest. I didn't know what the words, I didn't know it in completion to teach. I didn't know how to study to know it. So I wasn't ready for the microphone. Does that make sense? I hope that's resonating too. And as we're talking about this, just remember that everybody has something very particular. And when we're choosing to be holy and set apart, it's not an option not to pursue our calling. It's not an option. Just like my guys at work, they have a responsibility when they run their time card. It's not an option for them to come in and clock in and go get in their trucks and sleep for 10 hours. It's not. That they have a responsibility, especially if they want the privilege of that paycheck. Well, as Christians, we have a responsibility, and our clock-in time is when our feet hit the ground. Our clock-out time is when we lay our head down. That's our clock-in and clock-out time. We have a responsibility. That responsibility never goes away. Never goes away. So how do we know what our calling is? How do we recall these things? How do I know that I was called to do this right here? My wife says, because I never shut up. Seriously. She told the pastor the other day, she said, right before all this starts, she said, if you don't let him preach pretty soon, I'm about to leave because the buzzer can go wrong on the dryer and he preaches a sermon on it. All right? Get him someone. That's how, because there's something inside of me that energizes my life. There's something inside of me. I have this desire that nothing drives me more than preaching and teaching the Word of God. Nothing. Money doesn't do it. Success doesn't do it. There's nothing that petitions and drives me and challenges me and keeps me up at night and makes me study harder and makes me want more than preaching and teaching the Word and the lost. There's nothing more. Whatever that is in your heart, whatever that, you know what it is. And if you don't, we're fixing to talk about how to recall it. So number one, what unique shape do you have? This was something we did in Starting Point, week 3. Spiritual gifts is the S. Heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. I have a heart for people. I have a heart for the lost. Big time. I have the ability to never shut up. Amen. She knows. But I have the ability to stand up here, and I never get nervous in front of people. I just don't care what nobody thinks. That's an ability. That's not something that I put inside of me. That's something that God puts inside. If my wife was standing here, she'd be broke out in hives standing in front of y'all. She's not here. I can say that. But you put her in a situation that needs to be organized, she's the most anointed person I've ever met in my life. She can organize anything. My house stays organized, and there's 4 kids running around it all the time. I'm the biggest one. It's organized. There's decorations and stuff. Yes, my wife decorated for fall in August. Yeah, that's what I'm married to. And hey, it stays in order. There's but that's her gifting. That's her heart. Organization is her heart. That's her abilities. Personality and experiences. I teach from experiences. I just talked about my tennis faux pas. I just talked about my, you know, the fact of the matter is that I thought I had a calling to be whoever a great tennis player is, Serena Venus. Yeah. Whatever her name is. See, I have no business in tennis. I don't even know who plays it. I've just seen it on ESPN. But what I'm getting at is I use experiences and I use my personality because God put this in me. Whatever your shape is, and if you don't know what your shape is, go back and look at your starting point book and go back through that, okay? Number two. What has God already spoken to you about your calling or purpose? What has God already spoken to you about your calling or purpose? What is it in you that you know? I know Amy Seaman very well. And whether she wants to do it or not, she's one of the most anointed people I've ever met, okay, when it comes to children. It's insane. She's been a kindergarten teacher for 52 years.
First grade.
Same time. But you were, all I said was that you taught kindergarten for 52 years. You've probably taught first grade for what, 10 now? I give her a hard time because she's so much older than me. Yeah, that's a joke. But she can take a group of 5 and 6 years old and she can calm them down in an instant. SFA didn't teach her that. That's a gift of God. She has a gifting, okay? So what has God already spoken to you? You know what it is. I can't tell you what your gifting is. You know what your gifting is. And whatever your gifting is that's inside of you, you can't ignore that. That's something God put in you, not just for Him and not just for others, but for your benefit too. Because this right here blesses me. Because it challenges me to stay in the Word. It challenges me to learn more about Christ. And so when I'm getting to pour out to people, God's pouring into me through the way I study. That's a privilege for me. Number three, what have you done with what you already know? What have you done with what you already know? With the gifting that you have in your life, what have you already done with it? Jennifer, what have you done with yours? Red carpet team. One of the most friendly faces, can talk to anybody. Yeah, and you don't hush much either. Hey, I can pick on her because she's a sister to me. It's 3 years ago. Would you ever thought you'd be doing that? Hey, 2 years ago, would you thought it?
6 months ago.
What she did was she took what was inside of her and she was faithful with it right then. And God has extended that responsibility, but He's also going to extend the privilege. So what have you done with what you already know? If you choke out the gifting, if you choke out the calling that God has on you, you're not going to live a life full of power like God's called you. You're going to run this race at about 50 to 60 cc's, like a motorcycle. I don't want to run this race restricted. I want 1,000 cc's or whatever it is. I don't know about motors. I know how to blow them up. That's it. But I don't want to run this race restricted. Does anybody in here want to run this race limited and restricted? No. Well, I can tell you, if you're not serving other people, if you're not serving God by serving others, you're living a restricted life. Shelly, am I right? I watched that woman serve right there, her tail off. There's power in it, isn't there, Shelly? There's family in it, isn't there? There's friendship. There's family that happens within him. I seen Shelly Z in the store the other day, and it wasn't somebody I went to church with. I seen my sister in the store the other day because I served under Shelly in Starting Point, did I not? She's family to me. That's what happens. This is as much as Amy Seaman's part of my family because I've known her for 15 years now outside of church. Shelly Z is as much as my family because I serve with her arm in arm at church. And I walked into Starting Point a blooming idiot. Did I not, Shelly? You just didn't see all behind the scenes. But I remember sitting at a table, and I went through this thing, and before I know it, I went to youth. It didn't work out. I loved driving the golf carts. I still try to get in on that, but I've got nudged out. Because I love to talk to people. I'm pretty sure I scared a couple of them. But I love to talk to people. And then I made my way in here as a table host, serving underneath Shelly. And then God's called me to more and more. But I did what God was calling me to do right then, right now. Because that's what God put in me. Danae, the first time I ever met you was you were a student in Encounter. And we're family now, ain't we? We're family because of serving. It's because we serve together. We've walked through some dark waters together. But we've been on the mountaintop together too. And it's because she took what God gave her right then and began the process. And now she is a leading coach in Encounter from a student. Yeah. It ain't just for her. It ain't just for me. It's not just for Shelly. James Copeland, I'm just going to put your business out on the street and I'll make some time up on this next end. James Copeland, when I started working with James Copeland, the minute he come through the Encounter and they told me they wanted to ask him to be on the Encounter team, I said, you're crazy. I said, you're crazy. I said, James Copeland, this is exactly what I said. And they said, I know it, but we feel God leading us to him. The boy's coach over Grow 2 now. Second semester leading the men's group. A table host and a fine table host at Encounter. Hey, if you don't think God won't use anybody, and I say that about James because when I started working for James, working with James, he wrote his first sermon for me. No. I had him write just a teaching for an hour-long men's group. It was like 16 pages long. He had quoted half the Bible. There was 87 different sermons in there. I ain't kidding you. Pastor Stephen said, can he teach it? I was like, I don't know, man. It might take him a week to get through this first lesson, but I worked with him, and I tell you what, and y'all may not know this about this man, but I don't think there's a person walking the floor of this church that can write a more organized and better sermon than that man right there. As a matter of fact, I've taken his sermons and I've stapled them in my office because they are so organized and so anointed in the way they're written that I write my sermons based off his format. And he is your most unlikely suspect, I promise. Am I right, James?
Absolutely. Okay. Told y'all at the beginning of the semester, 2 or 3 years ago, there's no way I would have been up in front of you guys. And I'll tell you real quick, when I started off safety team, and I didn't know where I was going, and it took mentors like Pastor Talia and Justin and a lot of other great mentors to encourage me, because God was speaking to me about going further, going and doing more, and then he was also speaking to them as well. See, so that's confirmation. That is confirmation about coming from God.
And this next lesson we're fixing to go into is going to show you, and this is the group art. You're fixing to look at some stories in the Bible.
about some of the most unlikely characters to do some of the most amazing, eternal, life-changing things in the Bible. And I know why God uses the most unlikely characters. That way he gets the glory for it. Because I promise you, you can ask Jennifer Kugler this, you can ask Amy because they know me the best in here. Is there any possible way that I could do what God's calling me to do right now on my own accord?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, that was too fast.
No. That's real though. Amy, is there? There's not. I know why he uses the most unlikely suspects. It's because the only way I can do this, and I know the only way I can do this, is because if I don't have Jesus in this, I'll fail miserably. If you're doing something that you can do on your own capabilities and don't need Jesus in it, you're not serving the right way. I'll take Shelly just because I know what she does. I promise you, if Shelly Z didn't have Jesus in the center of her heart, they would be at least 15 people dead in this county. I'd probably be one of them. Because people don't turn in their stuff on time. People don't do this. She has got a gift. And I'm serious, Shelly. She has got a gift to operate in the realm that she operates in starting point. That's unbelievable. And Shelly Z can say something to somebody, and it sound, if I was to say it, I'd get stabbed in the neck. And they'll look at Shelly and say, yes, ma'am. Most unlikely suspect right there. And I mean that. Oh, wow, that's going to get me. Let's do this. Let's do this group work. Do it at your tables. Y'all want to just jump on that table? Y'all going to do it with y'all three? Yep. Okay. All right. Let's do this. All right, let's take about 10, 15 minutes. 3 or 4, something like that. Now, and let's do this group work.